In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I have Eleanor with me today. And you know what? Oh, it's a beautiful day in Boston when this is being recorded. It's not recorded, it's live in Boston. It's a beautiful day. But do you know that at Planned Parenthood, each year, 300,000 children are slaughtered? That's just Planned Parenthood. And you know, it's nice. I see people on the beach, and the ocean is in front of us, and it's so lovely. And in Planned Parenthood, you know what they're doing? Oh, I just don't want to even talk about it. They are taking the child out of the womb, and they are burning the child alive. It's so sick. It's so sick. But you know what? We need an army of people outside of Planned Parenthood. We need people that will stand there and pray, not to harass anybody, but to stand there and pray. Well, I have Eleanor McCullen with me, and she says that she works. People say, where do you work? So tell us where you work, Eleanor.
Yes, Father. Hello. I'm glad to be with you, Father. Yes, if people say, well, where do you work? Well, it's work, but it's good work. And when you're in love with Jesus Christ, the work seems easy, but it is work. You have to be alert. You have to pray that you have the right words for the people. I only have a few seconds to speak to them. I ask the Lord to give me the right words, something that would touch their heart. I have to watch for them when they come out to follow up what happened in there. It is work. It's emotional work. It's heavy work. Why is it heavy? I'm going to give you this story, Father. It's heartbreaking, but I'll give you some other good things. So we leave on a happy, hopeful note. But yes, last week, a woman and with her husband, I suppose, or boyfriend, and they wouldn't have the time of day. They rush into darkness. I don't understand why people rush into darkness. And of course, they didn't take any information. And 3 hours later, they came out and she came right over to me. And one of the cases again where she put her head on my shoulder and the man walked ahead. The man was probably pleased, as you say, he wouldn't have to pay for 18 years of child support. But she kept saying, I can't believe I did it. Now, that's heartbreaking. That's work because it's emotionally draining. I get in my car and I cry on the way home. I mean, I don't even know this woman, but the Lord gives you love in your heart for these people. That's why we're compassionate. That's why we're there to help. And so I brought her in the car. We talked. I told her about Rachel's Vineyard. And that is a wonderful place, Father, for anyone that's been involved in an abortion in any way. Maybe a man that drove somebody or maybe a woman that went ahead and as she said, I can't believe I did it. And she's sobbing. So that's a wonderful retreat. It talks about the healing mercy of God. So it's emotional work. It's physical work. You have to keep vigilant. You have to watch. You can't get relaxed out there because once you start to get a little relaxed, somebody might have just gone in. So we are the last voice of reason, the last little voice that says, how can I help you? So, but you know what I'm going to tell you, Father, first before I tell you any of my good story, praise God, they're all glory to God stories, but you're also working in other ways. Like, as I said to you earlier, we're looking for pregnant women that are thinking of abortion and we're looking to help them. But you know what? Just like everybody that's listening to me today, because I know you all do good work. So sometimes you're trying to do this, but the Lord has another idea. And so that's what happened last Wednesday. He had four other ideas. And that, it's beautiful. It just tickles your heart how he operates. So I'll just tell you this part of the story. But this is work, too. Mary was standing next to me. And we're standing outside of Planned Parenthood about 7:20. And a man walked by. He was not going into Planned Parenthood. He was walking by. And Mary, you know, see, she steps out of her box. She has courage. And it's beautiful to see. It does take a little courage. She said to the gentleman, can I give you a rosary? And he brushed her off like he had his hand up and he said, you know, kind of like, no, no, get away or something like that. And that's okay. Mary steps forward. But, you know, Father, in an instant, he was in darkness. He brushed her off. But like we saw it, like within 2 seconds, he made a quick turn and he came back and he said, yes, I will have that rosary. He said, my father died 2 weeks ago. And now he's crying on the street. Not real heavy crying, but the tears were coming. He said, my father died 2 weeks ago. And of course, we said, well, oh, we're sorry to hear that. And we talked to him for 5 minutes. And oh, he said, thank you so much. He said, thank you for the rosary. Thank you for listening. Now, what kind of work is that? It's work to step out of our box. It's not physical work, but it's work to be courageous. Just like that woman, Father, in the gospel yesterday, she went into the Pharisee's house and she didn't care who was watching because she was in love. When you're in love, you do this crazy stuff. When you're in love with Jesus, you do things you can't believe you're doing. So it's like, who knew that he would come along? So, and he was happy. We only spent 5 minutes. It didn't take us much time to do that, but we were alive. We were vigilant. We were looking for somebody to help. Then, I guess about 45 minutes later, a beautiful Muslim couple were walking down the street, and they had 4 gorgeous children, Father. She was dressed all in black, beautiful family, but they were walking kind of like, oh, I don't know, maybe a little bit depressed, you know, walking slowly. They actually were not going into Planned Parenthood. They were just walking. So, but we greeted them. We gave them each roses. We gave them 6 roses. We talked about the children are gorgeous, beautiful family. Well, you should see them come alive, Father. We didn't do that much. But they kept saying, oh, thank you. And their smiles, the smiles could have lit up a room. And I mean, you say, well, what was that? I don't know what that was. Some reason they were walking along and they were like dejected. Maybe it has something on their mind. Maybe, I don't know. I can't guess. But we just spent maybe, they didn't want to leave us actually because they felt the love there on the street. They felt that we really liked their family and we thought they were gorgeous. So that was the second thing that happened, which was rather exciting. Then the third thing happened, Father. An Orthodox, lovely Jewish man. He was all dressed in black. And he came over to Mary and he asked Mary if she had anything Christian that he could read. Now, Mary, Father, she is so organized. She has everything you ever want to know in her little booklet bag. And she did. She had What Christians Believe. And he took it and he opened it and he said, oh, look, there's a psalm. I have to find out. He loved the psalm because he knew it from, I guess, the Bible, his Bible. And he said, can I have this? So Mary gave that to him. And then he just talked to us. We were very nice. And we don't know what that was. But what was it? He said, do you have anything Christian? So we didn't come there that morning to give that to him. But the Lord had something else in mind. Then, this is my last little thing. Then a woman came by. I said, Mary, I'm too old for all this excitement. Plus, in the meantime, we're watching couples, talking to couples, handing out rosaries, handing out hats, telling people we're here to help them. Then another woman came by and she said, do you by any chance have any Bibles? Well, I do keep Bibles in my car, Father. And so I did. I gave her one. I had another one. I put it on the hood of my car. I just put it there. Who knows? Well, anyway, the woman was so excited to get the Bible. But then about 15 minutes later, I looked up on the hood of my car and the other Bible was taken. So I don't know who took it. But it's all powerful stuff. It's all glory to God stuff. And all we do is we are there. So that's a little bit about sometimes we have something in mind, but the Lord says, just be available. I have something else for you today.
And you have no idea what's happening inside. You have no idea because people are outside witnessing, saying, we want to help you. You have no idea because the people in Planned Parenthood, the ones that are doing the abortions, they do not like people witnessing to Jesus and witnessing to life. They do not like it. But you know what? We continue to do it. We continue to do it. Every Tuesday and Wednesday, Eleanor goes out with Mary. Every Tuesday and Wednesday. And you know, they're giving baby hats and they're giving blankets. You know, what's the use of a baby hat going for an abortion? But you see, it tells you that this is a child. this is a child that's going to be able to wear this baby. I'm sure the people inside hate to see these hats, hate to see these blankets. And you see, people are knitting them, crocheting them, and it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful that God is using the hats. He uses everything that we have, whether it be small or big. He knows how to use things. But you see, we need to step out of the boxes, Eleanor says. We need to say, you know what? I am not going to stay in a box. I am going to count. You know, you count. Jesus counts on you. You count. You count. But you see, you've got to step out of the box. You've got to step out of the box. Eleanor, tell us how you started at Planned Parenthood. Tell us how you started.
Well, I started back in the year 2000, Father. It was August of 2000. And I know you have, or maybe I have, gone through my beautiful story of conversion, how the Lord captured my heart in June of 2000. And then I was so happy with that feeling of being in love and my heart being captured. And I surrendered. And I thought, well, this is good. You know, I'm enjoying this. And you said to me, Father, you said to me, Eleanor, why do you think you have the dramatic touch of the Holy Spirit? And I said, well, I don't know. And you said, well, it's not about you. You have to go out. You have to build out the kingdom, build up the kingdom. And I said, I don't think so, Father. You know, I'm so old and I'm a grandmother and there's nothing I could do. And of course, you mentioned to me praying in front of Planned Parenthood. And I was reluctant. I never said that yes real quickly. I was a reluctant servant. But you kept, I'm not going to say badgering me. How about we use the word encourage? And so I said yes. So I called Bill Cotter, and that's how I began that August. And then I only prayed. Well, when I always say only, but prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. And but then one day, about 4 months later, someone was sick, and I stepped into the counseling role. And that next week, I had my first save of a little baby, and he's now 10 years old. And he sends his grandmother, he's living with his grandmother, and she sends me pictures of like when he's playing in softball games and so forth. So that was my first experience of somebody listening to me. And when they came out, he said, I brought her out. Here she is. This was 10 years ago. Well, no, I guess it's like 12. And so, so there she was standing there, and I thought, oh, I don't know what to do. What do I do now? And so I brought her to my home, and I made some milk. I said, you have to drink milk now. So we had milk and cookies, and I took her to a Woman's Concern, which is in Revere and Fall River and Cape Cod, a Woman's Concern. And they took over, and they helped her. And, of course, now she has a beautiful baby boy. So you have to just be there. And there were so many exciting things that happened. Let me tell you this story, Father. This happened about 6 weeks ago. And a woman, here's a case of where you're there and something else happened. A woman came up to me and she said, can you help me? She said, I'm pregnant and I'm homeless. So I said, well, let's see here. What will we do? We'll have to do something. I said, we can help you. And I'm trying to think, what can we do? So you won't believe this, Father. Well, yes, you will believe it. So a car drove up about 30 minutes later while the woman's there. And I'm trying to think, what are we going to do? And guess who came out of the car, Father? Three Mother Teresa sisters that came to pray. And I'll tell you what a beautiful sight. So they came out on the street. They all look like Mother Teresa herself. And so after we finished praying for a little while, there was a break. And I took this young woman, Sarah, over to the superior of the Mother Teresa sisters in Dorchester. And I said, this is a woman that's pregnant and she's homeless. And we're going to pray now what we should do. Right away, the superior said, you come with me to Dorchester this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and you can live with me, and you can live there until you get your apartment or whatever Eleanor can do. So that was like, that was like such grace. They came that day and she said, come to my house. I was saying, really? She said, yes. She said, don't even hesitate. Just come. We welcome you. We want you there. So that was another story that is like, I'm too old for all this excitement. But let's see. Would you like to hear a story about a couple that I talked to 2 weeks ago? And the man seemed like he was listening. And I told him we could go to Pregnancy Help in Brighton, where there's all kinds of assistance. And he said, yes. It took us a while. This didn't happen easily. It took us 15 minutes. Well, guess what, Father? I said, okay, follow me. So we get in the car, and he's following me. But he made a U-turn. I looked behind. He wasn't there. So I said, he's going back, which he did. So I went back. I had to park. And then there they are, coming right back again. So I said, well, what happened? He said, she's going to have the abortion. So he dropped her off. But what happened, she was standing at the door until he drove off and she came out. She said, you have to help me. I don't want the abortion. And she said, I'm keeping my baby. And so we gave her that encouragement. Yes, you are the mother. You must take authority. And so she said, I'm keeping the baby. I don't care. I said, well, we'll protect you if you want me to drive you home now. So she felt that she was comfortable with him, but she had made up her mind that she would keep her baby. Somehow that courage and that strength came upon her, and she decided that she would keep her baby. So that's work. You look behind and the car's not there. So then you have to drive quickly back because you know what he's thinking. But all along, he was fooling me. He was fooling me, looking like he was on our side, but he wasn't. But that was an exciting story of just keeping after it, going back quickly, watching them again and staying there, persevering.
5 years ago, I got a call from Florida, and the lady on the other end said to me, would you go into the hospital and pray with this infant who is brain dead? So I said, yes, I would. And when I got into the hospital, we were not welcomed by the grandmother. She was a Jehovah's Witness, and she wanted nothing to do with me, which was all right. But there was another grandmother who wanted something to do with me. And I said, you have to give baby Antonio a whole week or 2 weeks on this breathing machine. Maybe he'll come back. Well, they had all made up their minds, especially the doctors, that this baby is a poor baby and he deserves to die. I said, don't listen to them. So I took the baby in my arms and I started to sing songs about the Lord, and not a whimper from the baby, not a whimper. It was like he was dead. But let me tell you this, that was Monday. On Wednesday, he started to cry and then he started to suck. And that was the beginning of the healing of baby Antonio. He's 5 years old today. They wanted to destroy this baby because he was poor and he was brain dead. 5 years old today, and he's the joy of the family. You see, when we step out, we begin to see things, but not until we step out. When we get out of our box, we begin to see things, but not until we get out of our box. People say, why do these things happen to you people? Because we put ourselves on the line. We put ourselves on the line. Nothing's going to happen if you're just going to be sitting around doing nothing. Make hats, make blankets, send them to us. Do something that's worthwhile. And while you're doing it, pray that these babies will be saved and these women would be saved. We also need to pray for the people inside the abortion mill. Jerry McAdams has taught me that, to pray for those people who are doing the abortions, the nurses, the doctors, the people who read the. We need to pray for them. Maybe, you can do that today. But you get things happening when you step out of the box.
remind me, Father, I have to thank St. Catherine's in Somerville. Beautiful Maureen has brought together, just like you do at Holy Rosary, a shower in May, a baby shower. And the pastor there at St. Catherine's in Somerville is Father Brian McHugh. And we congratulate him on his openness and willing to step forward for the unborn, and also congratulate him on his 25th anniversary of being a priest. So Maureen has brought everything over to us to give out all kinds of baby clothes and diapers and creams and ointments and everything. So I certainly want to mention that and invite everybody. That's another thing you could do. And as Father always taught me, you know, people probably around Massachusetts are saying, well, they're doing the shower. But Father taught me I'm they. And I said, oh, I don't want to be they. Well, he said, you are they. So you are they that are listening. You must instigate something at your parish. You must do it. No one else is doing it. I find out, frankly, Father was right one more time. So you are they. But I also want to mention to you that, well, you know, another thing, Father, this is important. Two things I can comment. Like everybody that we do things and we wonder, well, what are we doing? What are we doing? And that's okay because we don't have to always know, but it's wonderful when we do. But two cases I want to mention about not knowing what you do. A woman called me and she said, I have kept your telephone number for 2 years. And she said, I wanted to let you know that I have twins now. And you gave me your number, but I just walked out and I never said anything to anybody. But I have 2-year-old twins. And one day, a couple weeks ago, Father and Father Joshi came over to say goodbye as Father Joshi was going to India. And Father was there. The mother brought her twins. She actually just bought the girl twin. The little boy was home, but she brought the girl and the boy are named Mary and Joseph. And she brought Mary and Father prayed with the mother and told her how proud he was of her and asked blessings upon her family. So who knew? Who knew that she left and had the twins? So that was a beautiful grace-filled story. It just, you say, oh my gosh. And then just last week, Father, I got a call from a person too that left. And she called me. She's still pregnant. Her baby's coming in July, and she needs help. I always give my telephone number, 617-733-2264. If you know anyone that 733-2264. And that's my cell phone.
Oh, that's your cell.
Yeah. And so if you know anybody that's pregnant and they need help, call me because maybe they don't want to go to a center yet, but I could be the go-between and I would walk with them. So here she came over and she had walked out. So a lot of things we do, if we do it for the glory of God, as you said a minute ago, Father, it's never wasted. And then every once in a while, he'll show us like, guess what? Your prayers worked, and I'm going to show you how things happen even when you don't know about it. So whatever you all are doing, I know you're good people. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're doing things. So know that it's never wasted. Your words are never wasted. Your actions are never wasted. God uses everything. So I ask you to continue to pray against abortion because, you know, you wonder, well, what's happening? And I want to call your attention to things are happening. Pockets of light are lighting up across the country in the abortion war. Father's light has never gone out. Father's light still shines. He's been doing this for, I don't know, 29 years. His light has always been shining, but more lights are coming on. Things are happening across the country. Things are happening in Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin, you can't have an abortion unless you see the ultrasound. Things are happening in Texas. Things are happening in Orlando, Florida. A Planned Parenthood type of facility in Orlando, Florida has been closed because they investigated it and found out what was going on. So things are happening. So your prayers are valuable. There is a turnaround. So I just want to mention there is hope and pockets of light are going on across the country, different states. You may not see it in Massachusetts, but across the country, things are happening. So I want to call everybody to keep praying, keep persevering. The war is on, but there will be a turnaround.
There will be a turnaround. We say that in faith. There will be a turnaround. But you know what? I have a hunch that some people are pregnant that's listening to me today, and they were thinking of an abortion, and they snapped on the radio today. I have this experience that I had many years ago when I was in Washington, D.C. We couldn't march for life because there was a blizzard. But I said, there are women out there, and I did it on the phone, who were thinking of having an abortion, and there were two children that were saved that day. I've never felt that before, but again, I'm speaking to you. You are going to have that baby, and that baby will be the joy of your life. I am not telling you it's going to be easy, but you will have that baby, and that baby will be the joy of your life. You call Eleanor at 617-733-2264, 617-733-2264. The Lord has a plan for you and your child. I know you're young. I know you're young, but you know what? The Lord has a plan for you and for your child. 617-733-2264. We thank you for listening on today. I just want you to remember that any work that you do in the name of Jesus for life is always appreciated. Keep on making your hats. Keep on making your blankets. Keep on making baby clothes. Do all you can in the name of Jesus. Do all you can in the name of Jesus. And you know what? We will find out when we go home to glory how many people were saved. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.